What kind of faith do you have?
Is your faith a faith that works? Or is your faith a faith that does not work? When you ask yourself that question, what's your answer? If you have a true saving faith, you'll also have works. Remember that authentic saving faith is a faith that saves a soul. It's a faith that changes a life. It's a faith that motivates us to serve God. And it's an authentic faith. Welcome to the weekly podcast of Independent Methodist Church in Macon, Mississippi. It is our hope that this message will encourage you, strengthen your faith, and draw you closer to Jesus Christ. Our title today is Faith That Doesn't Work. Faith That Doesn't Work. Think back with me over the course of your life and all the Christmases and birthdays that you have been a part of, and the gifts that you have given and received. And then once a gift is given, sometimes it's put together and batteries are put in it and it's turned on. And how many times can you remember where it didn't work? That toy or that whatever you received or gave didn't work like it was supposed to. As you know, I'm in sales, and so from time to time we'll have little sales promotions, and they give us a little catalog of prizes we can pick out if we achieve certain goals for the month. And I've been fortunate enough over the years to have a few little things, blankets and shirts and caps and pocket knives and things of that nature. About 15 years ago, they had a little sales promotion for the month, and I was fortunate enough to qualify for that first hurdle, which was the lesser prizes, things like skin and knives and caps and shirts. And I had all of that already. But they had a flashlight on there that I decided I'm going to pick the flashlight this time. It was kind of a vintage look. It had the long metal handle with a big lens on it, something like maybe my grandparents would have had. I can remember them having something similar to that. And it had a leather-wrapped handle on that flashlight. Some of you may remember those old flashlights like that. They had the company logo embossed on that leather. So I picked that prize and I got it. And when it shipped to the office, I couldn't wait to get it out and try it out. I put the batteries in it, turned it on, it wouldn't work. No light. So I thought, well, maybe the bulb is loose. So I took the lens off and screwed the bulb a little tighter, and it still didn't work. Had a spare bulb in there. I took the bulb that was in there out and put the new bulb in. Still didn't work. I thought, well, maybe the batteries that came with it, those cheap batteries that they send with stuff, maybe those batteries are dead. So I went to the dollar store and got some Energizer batteries, name brand batteries, came back, put those in. Still didn't work. 15 years later, that flashlight still doesn't work. It's been sitting on my shelf at the office, kind of like a paperweight. When things don't do what they're supposed to do, it doesn't do anybody any good. And that flashlight has not done any good. And so, in this passage from James chapter 2, James talks about faith that doesn't work and how tragic it is. So the question I want us to consider, each and every one of us this morning, what kind of faith do I have? What kind of faith do you have? Is your faith a faith that works? Or is your faith a faith that does not work? When you ask yourself that question, what's your answer? James offers us four types of faith, four possibilities there. And I want us to kind of go through those and see what our answer is. Now, let's read starting in verse 14, James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such a faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even a Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Let's pray. Lord, as you speak to us again through this letter that James wrote, Father, speak to our hearts through the fiery Holy Spirit. Lord, speak through me. Hide me behind the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before we get started this morning, I want to be very clear about something. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and nothing else. Works will not save us. Did you hear me? We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, period. We cannot work our way into heaven. Paul, writing to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, says, "For it's by grace you've been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Salvation is a free gift by faith. And we come by faith and trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Paul wrote to the Romans in Romans chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. "Now when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work but trusts God who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness." Paul again writing to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. "We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified." Now there are some that have said, well, Paul's talking about something different than James. They're kind of in disagreement there. One saying that it's all by faith, and one says you've got to have works. Which is it? There's no contradiction. It's both. If you have a true saving faith, you'll also have works. They're both on the same coin, just two different sides of the same coin. I mentioned Ephesians 2 just a minute ago. If you go a little further from verses 8 and 9, if you go to that next verse, it kind of wraps it all together for us. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. "For it's by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." And pay attention to this next verse, verse 10, Ephesians 2, verse 10. "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So the question is, what kind of faith do you have? James offers up four possibilities, three of which cannot save a person. He says in that first verse there, verse 14 that we read, what good is it? Now that's a tough question. What good is a faith that doesn't work? Most of the time people ask that question, you have a negative answer. It's not any good. There's no real value to it. And so he asked, what good is it, my brothers, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such as faith save him? Bound up in that question of what is going on there is a person claiming to have faith but not showing it by the works that they have. They're giving it lip service. but they're not actually putting it into action. Remember that authentic saving faith is a faith that saves a soul. It's a faith that changes a life. It's a faith that motivates us to serve God. And it's an authentic faith. In the last verse we read, verse 26, just a minute ago, talks about the fact that without the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds or without works is dead. It's of no use. It's useless. And so James is calling us here to examine our faith, to see what kind of faith it is. And he lists four types of faith, I think, here in this passage. The first is a faith that's dead. A faith that's dead. He talks about in verse 17, faith, if it doesn't work, is dead. In verse 26, he says the same thing, it's dead. And that Greek word that's translated into the English word dead means useless. It means lifeless, deceased, departed. And the implication is that it's not a saving faith. What type of faith do you have? Is yours a dead faith? Is it a faith that works? The kind of faith is exhibited in a person that knows all the right words to say and knows all the verses that they should memorize and they can spit out. But that's as far as it goes. There's no action to back up that faith. There should be action. There should be deeds that follow your faith. The faith is the root, and the works, the deeds, are the fruit. You've got a tree that's rooted, but doesn't put on any fruit. It's not going to reproduce. You can imagine if you don't share your faith with somebody else for your whole life, you're not spreading it. It's not reproducing. Listen to a couple of passages from 1 John. 1 John 1 and verse 6 says, if we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. And then 1 John 5 verses 11 and 12 says this, God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. A dead faith is a counterfeit faith. It's not real. It's not a saving faith. It's just like when your battery in your car dies. You're not going anywhere. You either got to get a new battery or jump it off, one of the two. Bible commentator Warren Wiersbe said in his commentary, no man can come to Christ by faith and remain the same, any more than a man can come in contact with a 220-volt wire with electricity running through it and stay the same. It doesn't work. A man cannot come to Christ and remain the same. So there's a dead faith, a faith that's dead. I struggle with this one a little bit, this second point, trying to figure out how to say it, how to convey it. As you know, all my points have to start with the same letter. The second one is a faith like the demons. Now don't let me lose you here. Verse 19 says, you believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Does it surprise you to hear that demons have faith? But their faith's not a saving faith. After Jesus calmed the sea in Matthew chapter 8, you remember they landed at the Gadarene, the country of the Gadarenes there, and the two demon-possessed men came to them. And they cried out, what do you have to do with us, Son of God? That's what those demon-possessed men cried out. What will you have to do with us, Son of God? You notice they recognize who Jesus is in that passage. And they have a clear understanding that He'll rule and reign. And we know that by the next question they ask. I think it's about verse 28 to 29. It says, have you come to torment us before the appointed time? They know who Jesus is. They know His ultimate rule and reign is going to happen. They know that one day Jesus is going to win. So they believe, but it's not a faith that works. It's not a faith that bows the knee to his lordship. That's the kind of faith we need to have, is the faith that bows the knee to Jesus as Savior and Lord. One other Bible commentator was talking about the faith that demons have. It says they have an intense, unquestioned belief in God's existence and power, but their faith brings them no peace or salvation. They're fully aware that doom awaits them at the hands of the infinitely perfect God. You and I may know people that they know about who Jesus is, but they have no interest in bowing the knee to him. You know somebody like that? I've encountered a few in my life. I told you about the guy one time in Brooksville that I met. He said, "I've read the Bible, but I just don't believe that I should bow to him as Lord." That's a scary thought. Is your faith like that? Is it a faith that doesn't work? That kind of faith does nothing but rely on its own strength. And it exists for its own glory. And that kind of faith bleeds into this third kind. A faith that's deceitful. Listen to verse 20. He says, "You foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless?" That word translated foolish means empty or vain. A foolish or vain or empty man believes they're right with God. And James zeroes in on those that are deceived. He says, "Do you need evidence that your faith without deeds is useless?" He's basically asking, are you willing to learn? Are you willing to listen that faith without deeds is useless? It's dead, it's departed. Most of the time, individuals who are deceived are not willing to hear. They think they're good enough. They've punched their ticket to heaven and they think that's all they have to do. I'm good enough. And that's killing the church. It's killing Christianity worldwide. We talked about a few weeks ago, those types of people may come in and they get really emotional and they put on a good show. And they praise God with their mouth, but then 2:00 in the afternoon, they're speaking God's name in vain at the river. It's a scary thought. We don't want to be that kind of people that has a deceitful faith where we've been deceived, we're deceiving ourselves. That faith would have short-circuited Abraham going up that mountain if he had had that type of faith. He wouldn't have made it up the mountain. Those people in Hebrews chapter 11 that are listed there wouldn't be there. They wouldn't be in Hebrews 11 if their faith had not been a faith that works. They're there because they live their faith out with action. If they believed but didn't ever do anything to show it, their names would not have been in there. Hebrews chapter 11 would not exist were it not for a faith that works. A faith that's deceitful believes a lie. It believes that I can just keep on living once I punch my ticket to heaven. And I never have to bow the knee to Jesus. So a faith that's dead is intellectual, it's in the mind, there's no works with it. A faith that's like the demons is the same way, it's intellectual. It knows who the Lord is, but fails to bow the knee. It can even get emotional. It says there in verse 19, the demons even shuddered. They knew what awaited them, but they're unwilling to change and bow the knee to Jesus. They'd already rejected him. And then there's a faith that's deceitful. And the person believes all is well. No change required. But not a one of those types of faith are going to get you to heaven. Not a one of them are going to give you access to the Father. A true saving faith is a faith that's dynamic. A faith that works. Look at three words in verse 23. The three words that kind of illustrate a dynamic faith for us, a saving faith, a dynamic faith. Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. Those three words give us the secret to the type of faith that we need to have. He believed God. He didn't believe God for just a few things. He believed God, period. And it drove him to action and obedience as he went up that mountain and drew the knife to sacrifice his son Isaac, knowing full well that that was his only son that would be, the promise would be given. God had already told him the promise would be through Isaac. But he had the faith, and he knew that if God allowed him to take his life, that he would raise him up again. That's the kind of faith we need to have. A believing, dynamic faith that drives us to action. Rahab had that kind of faith. She had a dynamic faith. All those people in Hebrews 11 had that dynamic kind of faith that was exhibited by their works. You know, faith is not like gasoline that you put in your car and you run out eventually. Faith is like muscle which grows stronger as you exercise it. And that's what God calls us to do. So what kind of faith do you have this morning? Is it a dynamic faith, a faith that works, or is it a faith that doesn't work, like that flashlight I mentioned earlier? God has prepared works for us to do in advance if we're His. He calls us to do those. He calls us to produce the works that He's laid out for us to do. And to show that fruit. In Matthew 5, this is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That's what it's all about. He's to get the glory and the honor by the deeds that we do. It points people to Jesus when we do those good works. God calls us to have a saving faith, a faith in His Son, a dynamic faith that works. Don't be like that flashlight that didn't come on. God says, you're the light of the world. You've got faith, show it by the things that you do, by the works that you do. And if you realize this morning your faith is not what it ought to be, God is willing to receive you. He stands ready and willing and able to do just that. Maybe there's some things in your life that are causing you not to want to do the things that God's calling you to do. It's holding you back. You just need to trust and obey, as we'll sing in just a minute. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. We're going to sing that as our invitation hymn in just a minute. Whatever your need might be this morning, you come as we stand and as we sing.